Can I get started? Okay, cool. Good afternoon, everyone. Are you enjoying Build so far?
Yeah.
Everyone? Yeah, of course. You guys are getting away with 2 tablets, right? How cool is that? I envy all of you. We don't get anything as speaker. You should definitely write that into feedback, you know, to encourage the speaker. And we're come to the session, and we are going to talk about Windows Azure Media Services. My name is Ming Fei, and I work in Windows Azure Media Services team as a program manager. That I work with developers, engineering team to develop features for the service. And this is my Twitter ID, and that's my email address. Both are a very effective way of reaching out to me if you have any questions. We are going to have a full 60 minutes session, and we are going to talk about Windows Azure Media Services first, and we'll go through some of the architecture and features, and then the very first service we are going to talk about is Video on Demand Service. Probably a lot of you guys are using this, and we will be building media application using .NET SDK to connect to the service programmatically. And then we will talk about one new exciting feature called dynamic packaging. And lastly, we're going to talk about live streaming, which is really, really exciting that we are going to do a demo. And we have never been talking about the service anywhere else, and you are going to be the first group of people knowing how live streaming works. Okay, before talking about media services, let's just step back a little. Why should we care about video? As all of you may agree with me that video is definitely the most exciting things on the internet right now. And the video experience gets so good that we tend to forget where we come from. So let me remind you, that was a conference happened just 7 years ago. Can I get audio from the PC?
First developers.
Yes. Even though the resolution is so low, you recognize who that person is, right? And that's him last year in Build keynote. And the quality of the video.
When you go pick up your 100 gigabyte of SkyDrive storage, which is a little card with a code on it, you'll also have a chance to pick up a Microsoft Surface RT.
What's up with that? You guys are getting much better stuff. And however, you will see that this high quality video are live streamed to anyone, like you guys can just watch online. And that's how we are making progress from that little conference, you know, low resolution video on demand video into this, you know, high HD live streaming content. And no mention that you know, because of the advance of device technology, everyone could create videos now that you can have some device in your pocket that generate video. And that certainly contributes to the video traffic online that has exceeded half of the internet traffic now. I have no idea who that dude is, but apparently there's like 1 billion views on YouTube. Things are really getting crazy that, according to Cisco, in the next 3 years, 90% of the online traffic would be video. So it's really, really exciting. And we are not only seeing those short form content, but we start to see a lot of high quality, long form, high premium video hits online through all these IP delivery platforms such as Hulu, Netflix, Comcast, Time Warner Cable. That think about it, Hulu doesn't even exist 5 years ago, and now it is in everyone's daily life. Like, I watch Hulu every day, so it's really making a lot more progress. And as consumer, we no longer only watch content through TV, connected TV devices. We can pretty much consume video anywhere, anytime we want. You can have tablet, phone through 3G, 4G broadband, you know, to enjoy any content you want. We certainly believe this industry will grow into a much larger scale in the future. However, for people who, like you, that work in this media industry, there are certainly a lot more challenges you need to prepare to face. Everyone wants to deliver high quality video for any device, anytime, anywhere you want. However, you have to deal with all this multiple formats and multiple bit rates that you need to deliver. And no mention, you need to think about your infrastructure cost. How could you correctly predict the peak of your video streaming time so that you don't disappoint your customer? And also monetizing content. You wouldn't want to miss the chance to insert a advertisement in the most exciting content to get ads revenue. And digital rights management. There are always people try to steal your content and put out somewhere else. How do you prevent that from happening? And Azure Media Services recognize the problem. And we are working towards the goal to help you solve all this problem. Of course, we can't kill all of this for you, but we are working towards that goal. So exactly what is Windows Azure Media Services? Similar to other media Azure services, we build on top of Windows Azure platform. We utilize the platform capabilities such as compute and storage. Billing is through Azure. Third-party provider is through Azure Store. We brought down everything into single point. And we are a platform as a service. We enable you, developer, to access our service through REST API. And if you look at the green color boxes, our major features, what we have shipped by GA this February, which we call a video on demand service. It allows you to bring in media into the data center, transcode it, package into certain adaptive streaming format, and put in content protection if necessary, and make it available for streaming. And looking at the gray color boxes, live ingest, live streaming, live encoding are something going to be available very soon. And we also have analytics, identity management, and advertising further on the roadmap. So if you look at all these boxes are what we ultimately wanted to ship as the overall picture of the service. And we understand media business needs high availability, high durability, and that's why we build all that into the platform and take away the complexity away from you. You no longer need to care about service maintenance, and you can just scale up and scale down when your video goes viral. And we encourage media partner and customers to utilize REST API to build what we call SaaS application on top of our platform. One of the examples is Windows Azure Portal. They use REST API so that they build a portal as customer. You can just press a few buttons. You can kick off the encoding job. So that's a typical SaaS software I'm talking about. And we make adaptive streaming work with Azure CDN, partner CDN, so that you can deliver your content from the edge. That's certainly very important for most of the media distribution. And lastly, we ship a spectrum of player framework so that you can rapidly build up a media application on all of this platform to consume the content. This is something I really want to highlight, that we are working towards the goal to bring in an excellent partner ecosystem system for you, because we understand media space is so broad that there are many companies out there has its own expertise, and we bring them into this platform so you could assess their service as well. If you look at encoding, for instance, you will be able to use Microsoft first-party media encoder, and at the same time, if you want to use Dolby Digital or Digital Rapids encoder algorithm, we onboard them as our partner, and you could, as developer, have unified API to assess their service. And from a management perspective, you will be able to sign up the service through Windows Azure Store, and you are getting a single billing for all the services that we provided, regardless it is first party or it is third party. And now let's deep dive onto video on demand service. So if I would break down the workflow, that would be something like first step, you bring in the media into the data center so we can do something with it. So once you hand over the data with us, we will store the data in blob storage in the concept of a set folder. And we all know media files are usually large. Bringing a large mezzanine asset into the system is not a trivial job. And that's why we provide various options for you. Firstly, we pre-encrypt the file before uploading so that the file's integrity gets protected over the transmission. And we provide the basic secure HTTPS upload. And if you think that's not fast enough, We also enable network level peering for fast HTTP into Azure, which can go up to gigabytes per second. And lastly, we onboard partner Aspera. You guys heard of Aspera, right? They're pretty good in file transferring space, and they provide a service you can sign up to Windows Azure Store, enable fast upload using UDP. So that's really fast transferring of data. And the second step, if I would say that you are going to do some type of transformation over your media file, you go through encode, package, and encrypt. Basically, you have the file in Azure blob, and you're telling us, do some encoding for me. And once that's done, we will put the file back into Azure blob. However, if you're using a shared service, you may expect to queue because someone else encoding job may get ahead of you if you end up in the same box. What if I just want my job to run on that server? I don't want to wait. We certainly have the option for you to choose encoding reserve units. So you could purchase that at $99 per month on daily per rate basis. That if I sign up for 3 encoding reserve units, I could run 3 encoding jobs at the same time concurrently, and I don't have to wait for anyone. So we do have this reserved model for you as a choice. And talking about Windows Azure Media Encoder, we support the most popular format H.264 encoding, VC1, and that's the audio format support. And we also enables you to package content into MP4, smooth streaming, HLS, and MPEDASH. And I'm going to talk about MPEDASH later, which is the adaptive streaming format in the industry now. And lastly, we enable you to encrypt with PlayReady, Common Encryption, and AES. So after the file is ready, we are just going to make it available for streaming, and that was where you sign up for Origin Server. And you could, similarly, if you are using a shared model, you are sharing the video with some other customers who sign up in the same data center. It just, for instance, if their video goes viral, it may affect your bandwidth. So you definitely have the choice to purchase, reserve the Origin Server at $199 per month, that you are getting guaranteed bandwidth starting from 200 megabytes per second, and no one will be affecting your video traffic performance. And that's certainly the whole workflow looks like for video on demand service. And you can come in anytime and exit anytime. You don't have to finish the whole workflow, and it's highly customizable. And talking about pricing and SLA, since we have Win GA, so we're starting to charge for the service, that as I mentioned, we do have a shared encoding services and reserve encoding services pricing, and it's starting from $99 per month if you want to sign up for a reserved unit. And it's prorated on daily basis, which means if I only use it for 24 hours, how much do I pay? Come on, guys. It's like $3, right? You just do the math. It's like slightly more than $3. And similar for streaming service, you could sign up for reserved streaming units, which is $199 per month, and you are guaranteed with 200 megabytes per second bandwidth. And similarly, you can just turn it off after 24 hours. It's prorated on daily basis. And now let's take a look at the Windows Azure portal for a very short demo. Okay, now I have already created a media services account. You guys probably have seen this demo for many times that you can create a media services account. And we are currently available in 6 regions, and we are expanding into another 6 data center in 2014, including Australia, Japan, or this data center. And you would be able to use the portal to upload video into the portal and encode it into certain format. And I won't repeat that part of the demo. And one thing I really want to highlight is the scale part, which I mentioned. If you want to have reserved capacity, which a lot of media company wants, you can just by pulling the slider here, and you are getting a guaranteed bandwidth, or you could have say 25 encoding server running in the cloud for you, and you can encode 25 video at the same time. So that's the part that you can be able to scale your service. And let's just keep it as 1-1 for now. And coming back to the slide that we are going to go through the steps of encoding upload stream through SDK, which I think that's more interesting to developers like you. We ship REST API for all platforms. You will be able to use simple HTTP GET POST to communicate with our service. And we ship .NET library and Java library so that you can rapidly build up application to programmatically access our service. And now I'm going to use .NET SDK to work through the function of upload a video file and encode into certain format and make it available for streaming. But before I do the code demo, I want to work through a concept of how, you know, what's the concept behind the code so that we can go through that smoothly. So firstly, I will be having a little video application called demo.exe, and I will have a source file sit on my desktop, okay? And the first thing is, of course, get authorized, that I will be provide a account name and account key to get authorized by the service, and I'm getting a bear token so I can continue access the service. And the next step, what I'm going to do is to create an asset. This asset concept is mapped to the location, physical location of your file, and we would be able to talk to Storage SDK on your behalf that upload a source file into the system in the blob storage. After that is done, we are going through the encoding process where we firstly create a job. So that's the entity in media services. And we are going to, basically, you may expect to wait, and that's why the scheduler will slot your job in. And the first task we are defining is, let's encode the video file into multi-bitrate MP4. That's task one, which we are going to do later. And the task two is to package the set into smooth streaming. And task three is to package smooth streaming into HLS. That's pretty straightforward, and all these three tasks will be attached on a single job, and we'll just kickstart a job where media services will do all this transforming of data for you. And the last step is make it available for streaming. That firstly, we create a origin streaming locator. So what does that mean? It means that the origin server is a URL that origin server knows where to fetch the physical files and serve it out. And the second step is we will provision origin. And that's the step you do in the portal. As I already did it, I put a bar there, say I want one reserve unit, and you can certainly say I want four reserve units because I need more bandwidth for my video streaming. And then the last step is to serve requests that you are going to embed the end URL into your application so that you can see the stream coming through. And the origin server here, you can just think that as a media server. It sits in between of your physical file and the client, and it answers queries, whatever query the client sends through. Say I want a 2-second data chunk for smooth streaming, or I want 10 seconds chunk from HLS, the origin server will sit there to provide all the information to client. And that's true origin streaming locator. And what if you want to surf out the file, the multi-bitrate MP4 from the system, you are going to use something called SAS locator. If you have been playing with Azure Storage SDK for some time, you should be familiar with SAS. That's basically the way you access any file that inside the blob storage, because MP4 is progressive download. And that's the reason we are using SAS locator for MP4 and origin locator for smooth streaming content, for adaptive streaming content. And now let's open Visual Studio and see how that works. Let me switch to my laptop. Okay, firstly, I'm going to open Visual Studio, and I'm going to create a new project. Let's create a console application and click on OK. Sorry, let me just zoom in a little bit. And the first thing we always do is to import reference. So search for Windows Azure.media services, you will get a NuGet package. Very easy, we just install the service. And because we utilize storage SDK, so storage SDK is imported, and we'll use media services client SDK, and as well as WCF OData to make the connection to REST layer. And the first thing we are going to do is we are going to put in a min skeleton of the whole program. Let me just resolve the namespace and I'll explain. The first thing is we are making a connection to media services by passing in an account name and account key. So where can I find this information is back in the portal. Under dashboard, there is a manage key button. And that was where you get account name and account key. And now we could just go ahead and make a connection with media services. And the second step we are going to do is we are going to create the asset and upload file into the system. And then we are going to encode and package the content to the desired formats. And lastly, we are going to get a streaming URL to stream the content out. So that's sort of like the flow of what we are going through. And let's see how each individual method looks like. Firstly, we are going to upload the file into the system. And this is the create and upload file methods. There are a fair bit of code, but it's actually very straightforward. We use Cloud Media Context and use asset entity, and we create the asset, and then we upload files into the system. And the file sits on my desk. That's the URL of my video file. And then we track the upload progress so you guys can see how the file goes into the cloud. And after that, the second step is to encode and package content. And the code will be something look like this. I know it's a lot of code, but you will be able to get the demo code right away after the presentation, so you can figure out the detail later. And I just want to highlight a few points. So remember the graph I showed. Firstly, we have a job. Say, I want to encode the video into MP4, smooth streaming, and HTTP live streaming. And we have three tasks. Task one is encode into MP4. And task two is package into smooth streaming. And task three is package into HLS. They are very similar that firstly, we are going to use some media processor. And here I am using Windows Azure Media Encoder. And that's why I query a bunch of media processor out. You can imagine that could be some third-party media encoder and you're queried by the string, say, Digital Rapids Media Encoder. And then we are going to tell the encoder that I wanted the format of H.264 multi-bit read MP4. And they will just query based on the string. And you may wonder, where can I find more encoding presents? That's through MSDN, that if I go through here, you can see that there are a lot more choices you can choose. Like you can encode into VC1, Smooth Streaming, Xbox Live ADK. And you can have a lot more encoding present on your choices. And then after that, I will just say, I want to kickstart this encoding job. And please use Windows Azure Media Services encoder. And I want this encoding presents. Please encode that into multi-bit rate MP4 so that our machine understands what to do through the APIs. And then after that, you just need to add input asset and output asset, kickstart the job, and we are done for the encoding and packaging part. And very lastly is, since you have packaged the content, and we need to make it available for streaming, right? So that's the method of getting streaming URL. So I will just plug it here. Okay, so get streaming URL. This method, firstly, we define some access policy. We could say, please make this video asset available for only a year. That's the contract I have with the studio. And the URL has to expire after a year. And you can define that through the API. And after that, for different assets, as I mentioned, if you are doing an adaptive streaming format streaming, you are getting an on-demand origin locator. And that's where you just use the contact to say, create locator. And the URL will be up there for you. Or if you deliver progressive download content, you need to ask for a SAS locator. And that's basically a shared SAS signature URL going to the blob to grab the progressive file for you. And that's pretty much all you need to do. It is really just that three steps of upload, encode the package, and make it available for streaming. And if we run the program, let me just enlarge the console so that you can see. Firstly, it takes some time for the file to go into the system. And you can see that now we are making some progress for uploading. Azure.wmv is going into the system. And then if I look at the portal now, I should be able to see WMV, Azure.wmv in the system. And you can see that's already uploaded. And then we could also monitor the job. And that's one of the things you can just directly access Azure portal. And it is telling us, oh, we are going to kickstart encoding task. And we are going to package into smooth streaming and HLS. OK, are you guys with me? Or you are all lost? OK, you're still awake. Good. And the encoding may take some time, so but I don't want to eat into the presentation time. And that's why I'm going to move forward for the next concept. But we will come back to this demo, and we will see how the streaming URL actually works with various devices. OK, just give it a few minutes. And this is another concept I want to introduce. If you have been sleeping for the past half an hour, this is the time you should wake up, because it is really exciting. It's called dynamic packaging, which we just shipped a few months ago. What is dynamic packaging, right? So before talking about that, we should talk about tradition encoding and package. And that's the workflow I just introduced. You have some video file, and you encode into multi-bit rate MP4, and you package into HLS and smooth streaming, and you store all of them. Three types of content, and you make it available for streaming. Who does that these days? I believe people, a lot of you guys should do that, right? Yes, yes, I saw a lot of hands. However, we do come up with something for you guys that you can make it better, which is called dynamic packaging, that you still do the same. You have to encode the content into a certain format. And we encode into multi-bit RAM P4. But after that, you are done. You no longer need to have the intermediate step to package content into smooth streaming and HLS. You just surf out the content, the URL, through origin server. And our server could intelligently look at the URL and dynamically package the bits into different formats as you requested. Therefore, firstly, you save the time to package your content. And you save the cost for storing the content. That's actually the biggest advantage, because your video file is big, and you don't want to store them three times just for streaming into different platforms. And we solve the problem for you. And I want you to pay attention to the last format we added here, dash. And that's something I wanted to further explain. What is MPEG dash, and why am I excited about it? Before talking about dash, if we want to do adaptive streaming, there are three solutions out there. They are vendor-centric. What do I mean by vendor-centric? Microsoft has smooth streaming. Apple has HTTP live streaming. And Adobe has HTTP dynamic streaming. And they are good on their own platform. Like iOS supports HLS as First Citizen on their platform. And content provider like you, what can you do? You have to produce your content in all formats, which is really costly. And that's why everyone is calling a standard. And the standard is called Dash. And this is the first international standard for adaptive streaming. And it is heavily promoted by Dash Industry Forum as a standard. And since we are having a standard now, in the future, maybe everyone can just encode the content into Dash and you solve all the problem. However, it is still a long way for Dash to get adopted by this industry, but we do start to see a lot of movement. Firstly, browser. This is really big that this year W3C added two API. The first one is called Media Source Extension, and it enabled Dash Adaptive Streaming Playback inside the browser through video tag. And second thing is Encrypted Media Extension API. It provides DRM acquisition through browser. And Chrome this year and IE11 just implemented Dash.js so that Dash could be playback inside the browser on IE. There is actually a session going on right now in the other room with IE11 team, and they're demoing that. So don't run away. You're definitely going to see better things in this session that you can try, just try Dash in browser later when you install IE11. That would just work. And what I will be showing is Windows 8 for Dash, that we ship player framework that enable you to build a native Windows Store app and consume Dash inside your native application. How cool is that? And we are going to release Flash OSMF plugin so that you can play back Dash inside Flash Player. And coming back to the slide, continue, since I have talked about the significance of Dash, we are taking MP4 or smooth streaming as input for dynamic packaging, and the output format could be smooth streaming, HLS, or MPEG-Dash. But there is a catch. One of you should remember, you need to have at least one reserve streaming unit to enable dynamic packaging. If you tried my demo code later after the session, and you're getting a 405, you need to come back to this slide and read the sentence again, okay? You need one reserve streaming unit. I kept getting emails after the session. Why it doesn't work? Why your demo doesn't work? You never listen, okay? So that's why I put in red color. All of you should remember. And, let's just go back to the... Okay, I have a little link here. And now we are going to go back to the previous demo to see the result of the static packaging content, and then we are going to demo dynamic packaging. All right, I believe the program is done now. You can see that it gets encoded into MP4, packaged into smooth streaming HLS, and we are having content ready to go. So if I switch to content tab, I should be able to see a smooth streaming asset and a HLS asset ready to go. And we are going to review the video through the portal, okay, to see you guys that works. The publishing URL is exactly the same as what I showed in the console here. It's just we finish all this step through API. And this is actually a very interesting video. I have been searching for a while because I want a video that with minimum, you know, changes so that the encoding speed could be faster. And I need audio for my laptop. Okay. So, the minimum changes. You can see like cat watching me and cat. And cat watching me and cat. You know this 3 minutes neon cat video has more than 98 million views on YouTube. If you think that's nuts, there is a 10-hour version has more than 24 million views. Okay. That's how insane the industry gets to, okay? You guys are certainly in the amazing time. And let's check out the HLS content, right? Since it gets playback on iOS. This is a little app that my test built. His name is Manpre. He spent his spare time to have this little demo app so that by logging into the account, we can query the existing HLS content in the application. And then after click, you can see that the content gets played in iOS devices natively. And we do ship this the player framework so that you can build a native iOS application, you know, with advertisement insertion and all these things. Okay? And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to delete this two asset. What was the reason? Because I want to demonstrate dynamics packaging that even without storing HLS and smooth streaming, you can stream it. So I'm just going to pull out a little program here. Let's make sure you can see that content gets deleted, okay? And let me zoom in on this program so everyone can see. What I'm going to do is to showcase dynamic packaging. And the first thing is, I'm just going to query the MultiBitRAM MP4, which I have already encoded. I don't want to encode again. And after that, instead of packaging, I'm just going to ask for dynamic streaming URL. Give me a URL, and I want to stream the file without packaging it. And we are just going to start a program, and you can see how fast it could be done. So right now, it's looking into the asset, and we're done. So now you can just use all this and streaming URL and to stream onto various devices. And you can tell that all this URL here, if you look at the GUI, all the GUIs are the same, which means they are pointing to the same file in the storage. Even though you have various adaptive streaming format, you are only using one single video asset stored in the blob, and that's why you save a lot of money. You don't have to package into three different formats. And I'm going to showcase Dash. Let me just copy this. How can I do this? Okay, it's very long. Okay, never mind. I'm just going to type the last few things there. And so I have a little showcase application built using Windows 8 player framework, and I'm going to copy the URL here, and hopefully I could do it right. HTTP, okay. Let me zoom in, okay? Can you guys see? That's the URL that we just get from Azure, from media services, and I save the content. And then I'm going to open a native Windows 8 application. And Cenk actually introduced this player framework early on in his session, so I will skip some of the details and, I opened the wrong one. Too many demos here, I believe it's this one. Oh no, it's this one, sorry. Last chance. All right. And if I hit F5, this is just a demo Windows Store app. And here is the content we will be seeing. And you can see that the bit rate actually will jump on the left side when the internet gets better. You can see that the bit rate getting wrapped up. And that's actually the Dash information gets delivered into the player. The sound is going to stick in your mind, like what it did to me. I was dreaming about it last night. I was like, gosh, thank God it will be over today. And all right. And lastly, we are going to talk about something really cool, okay? And of course, there will be information on my blog and also on the other PM who owns the feature. His name is Nick. Check out his blog. It's definitely a lot more information than I go through in this session. And enjoy the reading. And lastly, we are going to talk about live streaming. And to set the stage right, this is still not even preview yet. I'm just too excited about the feature, and you guys are build attendee. You deserve something, you know, awesome, and that's why we want to do a sneak peek on this feature. And you won't be able to get the API after the session, but it is a hint. The feature is really coming just around the corner, and that's why I wanted to talk about it. And live streaming. Media services will enable streaming live content directly to public cloud. And it will support multi-format outputs such as smooth streaming, HLS, or Dash. And we are going to deploy live streaming server all over the globe, like in all data center. And you can just pay as you go after event is done, and you can just shut off the channel and tear it down without any cost. How does live streaming works? It is actually very easy than you imagine. So firstly, you have to push the live stream into the system. So how do you do that? We take in smooth streaming format for now that you are feeding us a 2-second data chunk continuously from your camera into the system. And you are hitting a Windows Azure load balancer. And you will have a channel set up for your live streaming. And you will be hitting ingest module first. And the ingest module will take whatever data stream that you put it in, and it will forward into preview module. So what does preview module do is, firstly, it will generate a preview URL. This is actually for internal monitoring usage. And you are going to see the live stream directly to preview URL, like what's going on right now. And imagine if that's a soccer game, you can even add a voiceover as a commentator. You can say, well, there's a nice goal, or you suck, and then you know the audio comments will go back ingest and comes along with the live video. So that's how they add voiceover, and that's why you see delay, you know? Like, it's already done, and he makes some comments and stuff. And lastly, program. That was where you make the video persist. It's because we know live streaming video, you need to have a DVR window. Maybe I start the program late, I want to see what's going on 20 minutes ago. I should be able to, you know, point back and see what's going on. That's the usage of program. And it writes into blob storage to persist the video. And you can define a DVR window, say, I want 30 minutes, archive my content for the next 5 hours. Or there are TV channels do 24/7 that everything is archived. And once the live event is done, you shut down this program module, the whole thing becomes video on demand. That's exactly the same as what I just did, and you can just stream the content out as video on demand content. And this is the live workflow we are going to run through. Firstly, we want to create a channel, and we will start the channel. That was the work we need to do to provisioning your service and say that machine is allocated for you to do streaming service. And then we will start streaming data into ingest URL. Okay, that's where you push the live stream in. And then we are going to use preview URL for monitoring. We can see what's going on right now. And then create a media set because you want to persist your data. And then we are creating a program pointing to that media set, say, write to that disk and help me save all those files. And then we are going to start program module that you basically get all the bits from preview module and write data into blob storage. And lastly, the client can just grab the program URL and play back the content. And lastly, stop the program, you will be able to, you know, get a set as a video on demand set, okay? Are you guys ready to see a live streaming demo? Yeah. Come on, guys, are you guys ready? Okay, and we are going to do a very risky demo, okay? If I get fired after the demo, you know what happened. I have a developer sitting in Redmond right now. His name is Girish, okay? He has been standby for the past 3 hours, so that he has camera seat on his desk, and he is streaming himself through ingest URL we are going to use. And I am going to use a Windows 8 application with a preview URL, and we are going to see him from San Francisco. And the best part is, he doesn't know when we will start seeing him. And we are going to do that now. Let's change to my laptop. So firstly, let's show you guys a little bit of API, okay? This is a little program that one of our partner engineer wrote. You know, someone is partner but still writing code. How awesome is that? And basically, you see the API is actually very similar to what I introduced at Video on Demand. And you can certainly query whatever channel you have through the link query. And also, if I look down here, I have a create channel. You can see here. Just ignore the add command and all these things. This is like his little tooling. And the key line I want you to focus is this line of code, you'll be able to create a channel. That's how simple it is. And of course, we are talking, we can start the channel, and you can just call channel.start. And our service will go ahead and provisioning the service for you. As simple as that, just that one line of code. But of course, we have a lot more engineering effort behind. So let's see how it works. Firstly, I am going to list the channel, okay? That's whatever I have already created because I don't want to take the time to create a channel. And we are going to use this backup channel. Let me copy this. And Girish right now is ingesting stream to ingest URL, okay? And let me open my application. And we have built-in player framework to playback live content. And I'm going to paste this, okay, to make it sure it's right. And finger crossed, hopefully I can see him. Fint. Okay. I told him to basically put a piece of paper beside of him. And I didn't know he covered the whole camera, okay? Let me go ahead and call him. This is sometime, you know, expectation and requirement doesn't meet, okay? Okay, I'm calling him, okay? Pick up the call. This is the risky part, you know? Hello, Girish.
Hi.
Can you say hi to the audience and remove that piece of paper?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, that's good.
You should see me in like 15 seconds.
Oh, okay. Cool, let's see when it happens. The delay usually is like 20 seconds. That's like roughly the TV program delay as well. And it's even more sometimes, like 30 seconds. All right, and now we start to see him. Okay, I want to say hi to Girish. Can you hear us?
Hello.
Okay, so in order to try to show you guys this is live, you can ask him to do anything. Anyone? Anyone? What? Dance, okay. Girish, they asked you to take off your shirt.
Sure, why not?
Did he just say, like, why not?
Yeah, why not?
No, sorry.
I'm prepared, you know?
They ask you to dance. They ask you to dance.
Oh, dance is actually...
Yeah, taking off your shirt is so easy, come on.
Hello.
Ask you to dance, yes.
No.
It's really taking off shirt. No, dance. Okay. Let's give a round of applause to Girish. Hello. Did you hear that? You can go back to work now. Yeah, you can go back to work now. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
The fun time is over.
I'm well prepared, you know.
Okay. Cool. Wow. This works. Okay, I hope you guys have a little bit of fun, and it is a lot of effort for him. I think he was nervous for the past, 2 hours. Imagine what I'm going to ask him to do. And really, that's come to the end of the session, that the best way to experience the service is to go out and try it. And that's the, you can check out more information on windowsazure.com/media, ask questions on forum. And also, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I have a blog called mingfeiwai.com. I'm going to post all the demo code and announcements by end of the day today, so you can get all the information tomorrow. And go and try it out. Remember, if you receive 4 or 5, what was the problem? You need 1 reserve streaming units for dynamic packaging, okay? All right, and let me just close on the session that I showed this last year in Build, and I said, let's take down the TV. And actually, I changed it this year because I gradually realized, what is TV? TV is becoming like the online streaming. You never know where the stream comes from. It's either from the satellite, or it's just from online streaming. You're watching in your living room through, Xbox and all these devices. Certainly, this industry is changing dramatically, and for someone like you and me that have the fortune to work in this industry at this time, it's great. We are part of the evolution. And here, for us who make the service successful, we need you to try and give us feedback and let's make video streaming amazing in the future. Okay, thank you guys. Thank you for your time. And now I open the floor for Q&A. And if you have feedback for the session, do write in the evaluation form. And I definitely will take a look. And I want to see some crazy demo idea that I can show next year, you know, to make the session better. Okay, any questions?
Question.
Oh, yeah.
So what's the story on authentication for the consuming of the URL?
Okay, that's a very good question. You was talking about the authentication of the streaming URL. So this is definitely something on the roadmap, and it is coming very soon, that we are designing the feature so that only the authorized user would be able to get a key to decrypt your content. And or if you're talking about just plain content that you probably need some CMS or, you know, login system to make sure that the URL is secured. But if you're encrypting the content, we definitely will come up with some solution to help you authorize the encryption key. Yeah. Thank you. Any other questions?
Yeah. Will the dynamic packaging also be available on Windows Server, or is it just an Azure feature?
That's a very good question. To be frank, I don't know, because I work in Windows Azure in the cloud, and it's the same technology fundamentally, and I'm not sure about the shipping timeline for that, but I do encourage you to use media services.
I use both. So, also another question, the live streaming I've been waiting and waiting for, can you tell us any more about when it's going to come?
Yeah, Mingfei, you're fired
soon
after the session. It's really soon, and what I can tell you is the reason why I talk about it is because there's no other event I can talk about it until it goes live. So you can count the timeline, you know. Like, I can't reveal more, but it's really coming, just like, you know, around the corner, yeah. Thank you. It's giving me a hard time, you know. Like, can you tell me that? I'm losing my voice. Any other questions?
Yeah, hello. Two questions, really. One is with ProRes. Formats are supported for input ingest, and the other question is about if it's possible to customize the ingest workflow, like adding a step for extracting metadata, for example, or interacting with a third-party service.
I think for ingest, pretty much as long as you produce smooth streaming and give to us, we can make it deliver over the public cloud. But we do not have live encoding for now, like, which means you still need some encoding hardware in order to, or software in order to produce smooth streaming content and feed into us. So the workflow there is not really something we are having right now. And but that's the next step we are going to work on. And what was your first question? I missed it.
The ProRes format. The
program, yeah.
ProRes. It's an Apple format used for professional video.
ProRes.
Yeah.
I have no idea about that.
Yeah,
let me invite Mike here. He's actually one of the guys that behind the scene, and he has been working in the industry for more than a decade of time.
Okay.
I'm not sure, but he can answer a question, yeah. I invited him
Thank
here. All right. Any other questions?
One over here.
Okay. Yeah. Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. What kind of performance differences are there between dynamic packaging and static packaging? I mean, are we looking at losses in speed? Or are we? I'm a little unclear on that.
Yeah, that's a very good question. Compare with that. Because there are usually two steps, right? Firstly, is encoding, both of them will have. And encoding is the most heavy lifting part. You need a lot of CPU activity because you are transforming the video, right? However, packaging is really just the way how you change the container formats. And if you do it static, you know, like beforehand, or you do it on spot dynamically, it's just like a few, like a milliseconds difference. Like, the performance won't differ that much because container format change is not a CPU-heavy operation.
Okay, yeah. I assume as much. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
So when the streaming thing is stored on the origin server, is it per request is doing that each time, or is it caching it there? And are you paying for storage on the origin server at all?
Yeah, we will cache that in the server for a period of time.
But you don't pay for the storage?
You need to pay for the storage because you're storing video there, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the storage cost
is separate from the media services. You still need to pay for whatever video you dump into the storage. And that's why I'm saying dynamic packaging, that definitely saves you money because you no longer need to store them, the intermediate files.
No, but those so you're not charged for the intermediate files storage?
If you store them.
Origin, on the origin server, you're caching them, right?
You pay for the mezzanine storage.
Yeah, you pay for the mezzanine, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, thank you. And okay, I think that's all. And thank you so much for coming. And yeah, thank you. Thanks. And I have some PM folks here if you guys have questions. And I will be in the booth tomorrow. So come and look for me in the booth if you have any questions, okay? Thank you.